Welcome to Let's Talk EI with Dr. Hank Clemens. This is an open forum to discuss all things emotional intelligence. So call and share your thoughts and ideas at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Now, here's your host, Dr. Hank.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk EI. It's a monthly show dedicated to, well, you guess it, emotional intelligence. Not only emotional intelligence, but other topics that, well, topics that's related to emotional intelligence. I'm Dr. Hank, President and CEO of the Society of Emotional Intelligence, or SOEI, as we often call it, which brings you the show. SOEI is always looking for ways to share information around emotional intelligence, and we have a number of mediums to do that. Boy, it's kind of chilly here in Tampa today. Well, the last couple of days we've had temperatures in the 40s and 50s, and I know, depending on where you are, 40s and 50s is probably warm. But here in Tampa, which I call sunny Tampa, it's like a little on the chilly side. But anyway, let me get my brrr out of the way, and then we can move on talking about Let's Talk EI. Let's Talk EI, you know, we said that we look for different mediums, and this show, Let's Talk EI, is one of the mediums that we use to kind of share information about emotional intelligence to our members and listeners. We also do it through our website, which is www.societyofei.org, and we do it through our professional meetings. Each chapter, and by the way, we have six chapters so far. We have one in Atlanta, one in Delaware. As a matter of fact, the chapter in Delaware is going to be kicking off their 2013 year by having sort of a social get-together, a meet-and-greet on March 28th. So if you're in the Delaware tri-state area, which is Delaware, Philadelphia, and I think the southern part of New Jersey, see if you can make it. See if you can stop in there and say hello and get to meet some of the folks there. They're having it, just go to their website, which is soei-tristate.org, and you can pick up the location from there. We also have a chapter in Los Angeles, one in New York, one in Tampa, of course, one in Houston, and late last week, I got an inquiry from some folks in Phoenix, who's interested in starting a chapter in Phoenix, Arizona. So if all goes well, next month when we're doing Let's Talk EI, I'll be saying we have a new chapter, and that new chapter is in Phoenix. But they're looking at the information and making a decision whether they want to move forward with starting a chapter or not. I hope they do. They got a lot of good stuff going on there. So anyway, that's a little bit about the different chapters that we have. We also have an annual conference that we do each year. The conference is in October, but this year it will be October 18th. And while I'm talking about that, about the conference, on our website, you'll notice that we have a call for speakers for the conference this year. Now, the deadline for anyone that wants to be a speaker, or at least anyone who wants to submit a proposal for a speaker, is April 1st. So please don't wait till the deadline. If you're interested in being a speaker at the conference, go ahead and submit it. All the information is on our website at www.societyofei.org. Information is there. We're looking for speakers who have experience in presenting or at least conducting emotional intelligence programs within an organization. In other words, not just talk about the theory behind emotional intelligence, but what has been your experience in terms of working with companies, organizations, nonprofits, military, wherever your experience has been. What has been that experience? What was it? What was the organization like before? what was the organization like during, and now that they've gone through, let's say, an EI initiative, how is the organization performing? What are the people like? I think this is the kind of thing that people, when they're attending conferences, like to know about, not only the theory, which they can read a lot about, but, you know, they want to hear about the experience, what took place. A couple other ways that we share information through the society is through LinkedIn. We have a couple of groups in LinkedIn. One is called the Society of Emotional Intelligence Network. We have about 1,200 or so members there. And we also have the Society of Emotional Intelligence Exchange. Now, that's a members-only group, so you have to be a member of the society in order to be a part of that group. But being a member of the society is pretty easy. All you have to do is go to the website, you know, see what category you fall under, whether you are a professional or corporate or a student. The fees for a student is only $15. So, I mean, you can't beat that with the stick, as they say. So as a student, you can be a member, an annual member of the Society of Emotional Intelligence for only $15. Corporations, they can have a corporate membership. It's $200. But the benefit of the corporate member is you get to be on the website. You get to have at least three members of your organization that are members of the Society of Emotional Intelligence. And, get this, and you get to attend the conference free. At least one of those individuals of the corporate membership gets to attend the conference free. And then if you're a professional, let's say you're a coach or someone that actually does interventions around emotional intelligence, the membership for that level is $50. So it's very reasonable. Almost anyone these days can walk along the street and probably find the money to be a member. Well, just joking, of course. I don't think there's too many streets that you can walk down and find $15 laying on the street or $50 laying on the street. But the idea is that it's very reasonable and you can easily become a member of the society. Now, if you're new to Let's Talk EI, let me tell you a little bit about our format, how the monthly show goes. Each month we have a guest. The guest comes on and he shares or she shares their philosophy around emotional intelligence. They kind of share what they're doing, what they've done. Some are authors, some are practitioners, some are academics. So they come from all walks of life. But anyway, they share with us, you know, what they're doing around emotional intelligence. Also, the good thing about the show is that it's an open forum. That is, we want to hear from our listeners. We want to hear from you. We want to know what's on your mind. So what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're listening, don't only listen, call in, talk to us, share your thoughts, let us know what you're thinking about, as it relates to emotional intelligence, of course. The number to call, 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. Now you can talk to our guest, and our guest this month is Brent Darnell, and we're going to be meeting Brent and discussing EI with Brent after the break. But our guest is Brent Darnell from Brent Darnell International. So those are some of the ways that the show typically shares information with its members and also with those that might be new. Oh, one last way is we have an email address. So during the show or after the show or before the show, if you would like to send us an email, the email address is letstalkei@gmail.com. So for those of you that are shy and just don't like to be on the radio because you feel that your voice doesn't carry very well or something like that, you know, send us an email. And at the last segment on the show, what we'll do is we'll read your email and then we'll respond to it. Last month, we had a couple of emails. We were able to respond to both of those. So if you're listening, you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make, send us an email. We'll pick it up. We'll read it during the show. And during the last segment of the show, we'll try to make sure that we get a chance to respond to it. A few things that I'd like to share with you, some things that happened since the last time we talked. One is I had an opportunity to spend some time at Rasmussen College here in Florida, and had a chance to speak to students around emotional intelligence as a competitive advantage. And it was one that went over very well, I thought. They were very eager in trying to understand why emotional intelligence was important, what it's going to do for them, and pretty much everyone wants to know what's in it for me, or like we say, WIIFM. So we had a chance to talk about emotional intelligence. I also had an opportunity to spend time at Kaiser University here in Tampa, Florida, and did a presentation to that management group. So it seems that there's an interest out there around emotional intelligence, not only at the corporate level, but at the academic level as well. A number of schools and universities are incorporating emotional intelligence into their coursework and all. And one other thing, coming up later this month, I think March 18 through 20, I'm going to be down at Tuskegee University. They have a conference called TUBE, T-U-B-E. And let's see what TUBE stands for. TUBE is Tuskegee University Business and Engineering Conference. And the focus of that conference is to get the students from the business departments, students from the engineering department together, and as a part of being together, to discuss how students in the business field might see, might get a better understanding of students in the technical field or the field where they're dealing with the engineering and IT and things of that nature. So I'll be spending time there sharing some thoughts around emotional intelligence and the need to have emotional intelligence regardless to what your degree is in or what area you focus on. But so those are some of the things that's coming up. And I think there's probably one or two others that will be coming up pretty soon. I know I'm going to be down in Sarasota, Florida, in a couple of weeks and speaking to a group. Let's see, the Sarasota Coaches Alliance. Sarasota's Coaches Alliance. And so, again, like always, the focus is around emotional intelligence. So looking forward to doing all of those. Also want to thank those that invited us to come to their college and university and share some thoughts around emotional intelligence with them. It's really beginning to look like the topic of emotional intelligence is making a lot of headway these days. And I'm glad to know that, glad to hear that, really, because emotional intelligence, now this is my fundamental belief, is something that we all could use. It doesn't matter whether you're 18 or 80, it's about how do we use emotional intelligence so that it works best for everyone. And like I mentioned, we have a guest that's coming on here shortly, Brent Darnell. He's going to be sharing some thoughts around emotional intelligence. And the good thing about it is he's coming from a perspective that we don't always hear about, and that is from the technical field. That is from construction, people who are involved in building bridges or buildings and things like that. Typically, when you hear someone talking about emotional intelligence, it's HR related, people talking about emotional intelligence in the business world, but not in the non-traditional world. So when Brent comes on, and I'm looking forward to that, when Brent comes on, we have a lot of information that we're going to be sharing, or at least he has a lot, and hopefully, you know, you'll enjoy it, and I'll be listening for it. But at this point, I think it's about time for us to take our break. So stay with us. We'll be right back right after this.
Now, back to Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Dr. Hank.
And good morning again. We're back. Thank you for staying with us. We're looking at bringing on Brent Darnell. But before I bring Brent on, let me tell you a little bit about Brent. I met Brent a couple of years ago, but he's been a member within the Society of Emotional Intelligence probably for a couple of years now. And he's also been a speaker at one of our conferences. I think it was the second conference. But Brent is a mechanical engineer and a graduate of Georgia Tech. Whenever I hear Georgia Tech, I always think the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech. He's a leading authority on emotional intelligence and a pioneer in its use in the construction industry. Now, since 2000, Brent has helped to improve the social competence and leadership skills of thousands of people in over 70 companies in more than 20 countries around the world. He's an adjunct professor at Auburn and Penn State, and his book, The People-Profit Connection, was received and has received rave reviews. His Tough Guy series of books have also made a real impact industry-wide. Now, he was recently named one of the top 25 newsmakers for 2011 by Engineering News Record. He believes in a holistic approach to personal development, creating fundamental and lasting change. He practices yoga, is an avid reader, and lives in Atlanta with his wife, Andrea, and their dog, Ginger. So, Brent, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Hank. How are you doing?
Fantastic, fantastic. I'm excited that you're here to be with us today. And you're not traveling, as we say, all over the world. You've kind of set aside some time and said, well, I'm going to devote a little time to sharing my thoughts and ideas with the Society of Emotional Intelligence and its wonderful listeners out there. That was what you said, right, Brent?
Yes, and it's a pleasure to be here. And it's nice to have kind of a down day, too. I've been traveling a lot the last 3 or 4 weeks, so it's been pretty hectic.
Wow. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you adjusting your schedule and maybe taking some time off just to spend some time with us. You know, it's really great. This reminds me of the topic, and the topic being EI, not so touchy-feely. And I have to admit, I wanted to have a title like that because most of the time when we're talking about emotional intelligence, people will go, oh, well, we can't use that touchy-feely stuff here, you know.
Right.
That's something that can be used well, you know, in sales maybe or, you know, in the office, but not out here in the field.
Right.
So I was glad to have the opportunity to have you with us. Now, one of the things I saw, and that is the people-profit connection. Can you give us a little information about that? Because it seems like that was a pretty big seller.
It's very interesting because when I first started doing this work, I kept noticing these patterns in the emotional profiles of technical people. And generally, they have relatively high self-regard, assertiveness, and independence, but relatively low emotional self-awareness, empathy, and interpersonal relationship skills. So It's frighteningly consistent. Every group I've ever worked with in the industry has that same profile. So then I started looking at what are the problems in the industry and things like, you know, poor communication and lack of teamwork and trust. And I saw one survey where there were only two occupations with lower levels of trust than contractors, and that was television evangelists and used car dealers. So these industry issues, and safety is always an issue, and stress and burnout is an issue, but that typical profile, I think, is a main contributor to a lot of the industry problems. It's because these guys lack those good interpersonal skills. And see, the real great thing for me is things like self-regard, assertiveness, and independence, those are fantastic leadership skills as long as they're in balance with, you know, interpersonal skills. But when they're out of balance, people can come across in the industry as very aggressive and people who don't listen very well, and all of those stereotypes for contractors get going. So the book is about that typical profile and how it contributes to all of these industry-wide issues, and how by working on emotional intelligence that companies can transform these human beings, these sort of alpha males, and give them more balance in their emotional makeup, and they become just fantastic performers. And that's why I was named one of the top 25 newsmakers by Engineering News Record. Is the title of the article is Transforms Alpha Males to High Performing Leaders.
Wow.
And that's what this work does. And I've seen the transformation is just amazing. It changes people, and then it transforms the cultures of these companies. They become much more relationship-driven and much more in tune with all of these softer skills that really do drive the business.
Right, right. You know, that reminds me many years ago, and I always talk about my first life and second life and third life, one of my lives, that was probably my second life, I spent in the oil industry. I worked for one of the major oil companies. Not only worked in refining, but we spent time in other areas too. And when you have terminology, when you're referring to people as roustabouts and referring to people as rowdies, that doesn't sound like emotion intelligence. In other words, you're calling someone a rowdy doesn't sound like you're going to be, you know, that receptive to emotional intelligence. So,
right.
You know, just the idea of the non-traditional environment and emotional intelligence. But that's what made it very interesting to me. So have you ran across it from that perspective?
Oh, absolutely. The initial reaction to all of these programs and work that we do is resistance and dismissal. I mean, it used to freak me out, but now it's just part of the process. They always resist and say they're skeptical that this is going to help them in any way. There's a great Harvard Business Review article on oil rig workers and safety, and they used an emotionally intelligent approach and made their trained their the supervisors to actually care about the guys and created a sense of caring and support, and their safety numbers went up dramatically. The accidents decreased dramatically, but also their productivity went way up. It's called Unmasking Manly Men. And so even with these tough, I mean, with these tough guy sort of industries like oil rigs and construction and that macho way of being can have a real downside in terms of safety. People won't ask for clarifications. They won't ask for others' input or opinions. Just the fact that they have low emotional self-awareness can contribute to safety issues because they're not aware of their surroundings.
That's so, right. That's right. That's a very, very good point.
Yeah.
What I thought about when you were saying that is, you know, when you're talking about being emotionally aware or caring, that doesn't mean that, you know, you're talking about, you know, always walking up to someone and giving them a big hug to show that you care.
Right.
I mean, you can show that you care by the programs that you implement, by what you talk about and how you present information, let's say in a safety meeting. You know, you talk in terms of safety as it relates to the safety of the individual, but not only the safety of the individual, but you're talking about the safety of the individual as it relates to their family and all other kinds of areas. So getting people out of the tough guy, you know, atmosphere or viewpoint probably takes a little work. And I'm just happy to hear that you have spent time in that area?
Well, the payoff is so huge, though, and that's the cool part for me is when I see these construction guys make these changes. Here's the thing: when I go to like emotional intelligence conferences and I show them the befores and afters on some of these individuals, I mean, they increase their emotional intelligence score sometimes by 3 and 4 standard deviations.
Wow. I mean,
it's amazing. And the practitioners that work with Fortune 50 and Fortune 500, they say, how do you get these results? And I say, it's these guys. I mean, they're so driven and they're so results-oriented that once they get this, they really do the work and create the changes in their lives. I had one guy. He grew up on the south side of Chicago. He was a first-generation Polish-Italian immigrant family. I mean, a really tough guy. And I think his empathy was around 47.
Wow.
And his assertiveness was around 130 something. So he was very aggressive. And they had gotten letters from owners saying that they didn't want to work with him anymore. He had trouble with subordinates not wanting to work with him. This guy has totally transformed who he is. He has made such strides and changed fundamentally who he is. It's even surprised the people that at the company. They just can't believe that this guy created this change.
Fantastic. So he had the capacity to change. He just didn't know why or how to do it until you presented some information that he could grab onto.
Yeah.
One of the other things that you mentioned, and sometimes our listeners may not be familiar with some of the things, is that you mentioned scores, like let's say 130 in one dimension of emotional intelligence and 45 in another dimension of emotional intelligence. Can you explain
way.
A little bit where those numbers might come from?
Yeah. We use the EQI 2.0, which is a self-perception evaluation that measures these 16 different emotional competencies. And if you think of it as like an IQ test, so it's a bell curve distribution and 100 is the mean or the average. So think of it that way. So think of somebody with an IQ of 47. This was that guy's empathy score.
Wow.
And so for assertiveness, 137, I mean, he's really smart in assertiveness. You know, that's really high because it's way above the average.
Right,
get those two together, it can spell disaster. Those people are seen as very arrogant and condescending, and they don't listen, and they don't ask for others' input or opinions, and they just kind of bowl people over.
Yeah, I'm getting a red light here that telling me that it's time for us to take a break. Time has passed fairly quickly. So can you stay with us, for another short segment?
Absolutely.
You need to take a break.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's time to take that break now. So why don't we go ahead and do that, and we'll be right back right after this.
It's time for more of Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's Dr. Hank.
Okay, thanks for staying with us. We have with us today Brent Darnell from Brent Darnell International, and he's sharing his thoughts and ideas coming from emotional intelligence being applied in a non-traditional environment. Now, I know we probably have some listeners out there. I'd like to have those listeners feel free to call in and ask questions and share their thoughts and ideas. But to do that, you need to call us at 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888, I hope that was only 3-8, 463-6748. Now, you can either speak to our guest, which is Brent Darnell, or me,
or you can just kind of share a thought that you might have on your mind as it relates to emotional intelligence and emotional intelligence in the non-traditional environment. Brent, now that we're back, why did you focus on the construction industry?
Well, I grew up in the industry, and so I went right from graduating Georgia Tech and worked in the construction industry and was a project manager, mechanical coordinator. I did that for 20 years before I started my own business. So that was where all my experience was. My dad was in construction, and we moved around quite a bit. And so I knew the business very well, and then I had this opportunity to do a leadership development program for a company called Skanska. It's a big Swedish contractor, and did that for 2 years and just loved it. And we just kind of accidentally stumbled upon emotional intelligence, and it turned out to be just a perfect fit for the industry and for the people we work with. And we found that consistent profile with most of these technical guys, and so developed a whole curriculum and methodology around measuring and improving those areas that they need to improve.
Okay. Because it's a non-traditional environment, and I'm using the term non-traditional now just to say that we typically find more males in that environment than females, would you say that there's any difference between the males and the females in that environment and their emotional intelligence?
Well, you know, I think for some of the females, it's certainly there are some differences in the scoring, but I found that the technical females, the true engineers and women who are technically educated or trained, they score pretty much the same as the men do. So I think it more has to do with how your brain's wired than gender specifics. Although I'm now starting to work with more mixes of groups that are a little bit more diverse. So we have some administrative people, some marketing people, and their profiles tend to be pretty dramatically different than, say, a guy in the field, like a superintendent or a foreman.
Okay. Now, that's interesting to know, because that leads me to the next thought that I had around this, that because there's probably not that much difference, what's the best way to deliver emotional intelligence training then?
Well, here's the thing that we found, because we've made lots of mistakes and developed this methodology over the last 12 years. And what we found is you can't teach emotional intelligence competencies in a day or a week or even a month. All of our programs are a year long, with lots of coaching and follow-up, lots of accountability built in, lots of daily application and reflection time built in. That's the only way you can truly create this change in human beings. And we found that the changes actually begin, the observable behavioral changes don't even begin until the 4 to 5 month mark, with all of that follow-up and accountability and coaching. And then by about eight or nine, 10 months, those behaviors become pretty solid, and we just give it a couple of extra months just to be sure that these changes are truly fundamental within the person and not just superficial changes.
Well, then, what do you think of organizations, and obviously this happens all the time, we see it, that says, you know, we need someone to come in and do a one-day seminar, you know, on emotional intelligence. That's something that we need to be better at. Can you come in and do a one-day seminar for us?
Well, you know, I come in and do one-day seminars, but I make it clear to the companies that you're not going to create any changes in a day. You'll raise people's awareness, and they'll be interested in it, but by about, like, the second or third day, they're right back to where they were, and they're doing their life and their work, and very little happens. You know, very little change happens. We call those three-ring binder programs. You've been to those where you get your three-ring binder, and you put it on the shelf, and then what happens? You never look at the binder again, and you're all excited about the training, and you're going to make all these great changes, and then nothing happens, and you get back to your life and your work. And then a year later, you need the binder. So you take the binder off the shelf, and you take all the contents out, you throw them away, and you reuse the binder, right?
That's right.
I think traditional training is a conspiracy theory. It was thought up by binder manufacturers to sell more binders. So we really believe that. And again, I do those one-day trainings. I do those seminars, and they're fun, and they're engaging, and people learn a lot of cool stuff. But don't fool yourself into thinking that people will change as a result of that, because they just don't. I mean,
right.
You know that from your own experience. If you've ever been to these kind of seminars, did you create any fundamental changes within yourself? And for most people, if they're honest, they'll say, not really. I picked up one little thing that was kind of cool that I use a lot, but fundamentally changing who I am, I don't think that happened in a day.
So sounds like what I'm hearing then is that if a company or an organization, and let's say we're going to say Texaco, they're out of business now, or at least they've, you know, been, and they are looking at doing an emotional intelligence initiative. It's something that they have to then say, we're going to invest in this in the long term. That is, we're going to have to be willing to spend 6, 8, 10 months or a year, you know, doing this in order to have some measurable results. Otherwise,
right,
what we're just going to do is just have something that we feel good about or felt good about once it happened, but people will pretty much remain who they are or who they were.
Right.
I know we've had that with some organization. So let's take it from the construction industry, and we'll move over to another industry that might, and that we're going to say the firefighters, as an example, fire and rescue. Have you had any experience with that industry yet?
I was working with and worked with a guy who worked exclusively with policemen.
Okay.
And it was really interesting because they have a typical profile as well. And I think there's some cops that are a little bit volatile in nature, you know, they're a little bit reactive, and he used the training to get people to more connect with human beings, especially the beat cops that were interacting with people day to day. Getting them to create more relationships and less of just being the cop that tries to beat everybody down or tries to maintain control. It was more about collaboration.
I've seen that with some police department where they try to establish and get more community-oriented, and they actually go into communities and have what they call substations, where the idea is to get to know the people in the community so that they can have better relationships with those individuals, and the individual in the community feel more comfortable, you know, relating to the police officer because they see them as someone that they know, not someone that just sort of comes in during the time when it's an emergency.
Right.
And that is an approach, you can say that's an EI approach, because it is about, you know, sharing and getting to know and understanding and the awareness and people developing a sense of comfort, you know, within that environment. And I think, you know, as we look at other non-traditional jobs, I think we could probably apply that to some others that are out there as well.
Absolutely. I read an article in the New Yorker about the application of this approach in Afghanistan and Iraq, of getting to know the locals and getting to know their needs and their culture, enabled the guys to get more cooperation from people to root out the bad guys and the terrorists. And it was because of those relationships and because they created that trust that allowed them to do that.
Wow. So it sounds like EI, I call it EI, some call it EQ, is pretty universal, and probably in any industry we could use the concept. We just have to become familiar with the industry and understand what people do there, and then be at a point where we can then work with the individual. In other words, we want to get the individual to share with us what are the issues, what might be some problems that they have. And
right.
Then we can then use EI, or emotional intelligence, to assist in working with them through those kinds of things.
Sure. You're just working on different things. And in certain, I imagine certain industries would probably give you some typical profiles, whatever that profile is. I'm sure, like, English professors have probably pretty typical profiles, or people in certain industries or in academia. I think they're part of their emotional makeup is partly what draws them to those specific kinds of ways of working.
Okay. Well, before you came on, I had shared with the audience that I was going to be down at Tuskegee University, where they're doing something called the TUBE Conference, where they're bringing together the engineering department and the management department to just kind of discuss and share where they may have some overlap and all. And, of course, my role is to be there to talk about how emotional intelligence can tie into that. When we come back from the break, can I ask you to maybe just take a couple of minutes and share your thoughts? What do you think might be some benefits to doing that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, let's take a break. We'll be right back right after this.
With more Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Dr. Hank.
Well, thank you for being back. Really appreciate it. We have Brent Darnell. He's agreed to stay with us for just a little bit longer because I had asked him just before the break and shared with him that I was going to be down at Tuskegee University in a couple of weeks and talking to a group of students around emotional intelligence, but also how emotional intelligence sort of matches up with the engineering field and the management field. So in doing that, Brent, is there any thoughts that I could share with them coming from your professional side?
I teach at Auburn and Penn State and Virginia Tech and University of Cincinnati, and it's all technical people, and it's these soft skills and using emotional intelligence as a foundation. And what the academics are telling me, and they're calling me to come in and do this, is, we're giving our kids great technical educations, and boy, these kids are smart. And they get stuff so quickly. But the thing that's missing, there's no classes on relationships or empathy or how to manage people. It's all very technically based education. And they finally realize, we're sending these kids out into the world without all the skills they need to succeed. And it's these softer skills that really differentiate them in their careers and in the marketplace and at the companies. Is those are the people that are going to move up. Those are the people that are going to really advance themselves in their careers quickly. So although they say for now, it's hard to bring in emotional intelligence as a core curriculum, part of their core curriculum, they're making it as an elective, and I'm teaching it. And boy, I tell you, the kids eat it up. They love it because, like I said, once they realize that this is the stuff that's going to make them successful. I mean, that technical education is important, but this is going to propel them. They're all over it, and they really embrace it.
Well, yeah, and I'm looking at sharing that same philosophy or same message with the group that I'm going to be talking to. Because often I know students just in general will say, I'm going to be an engineer. I'm going to build bridges, or I'm going to do triple E work, electrical engineering work, or and so I don't need to be, you know, have those interpersonal skills because I'm going to be, you know, measuring things. I'm going to be computing things. So why do I need to be all, you know, self-aware? The self-awareness piece is just me being self-aware about me, not other people, because I'm going to be, you know, building bridges.
Right.
But they don't realize that a part of building bridges or building homes or whatever is that they have to work with someone else.
That's
just
right.
Put it home. And because
no, Hank, even a heart surgeon I talked to, I was telling him, you know, when you're cracking my chest open, I just want the best heart surgeon. And he said, oh, that's a bad mistake because surgery is a team sport. And he said, you know, if they hate me in the operating theater and I'm making a mistake, they're not going to say anything to me. So, we've got to really drive it home to these kids is this is a collaborative industry, as most industries are. They're driven by people. I mean, the business of business is people. And if you're not good at that part of it, you're going to be very limited in how well you do in your career.
Well, then let me ask you this. Where, and I'm putting you on the spot right now because, you know, people ask me this sometimes. What industry, where would a person not have to be emotionally intelligent?
I haven't thought of any. We ask that as a quiz question in these programs. And, you know, people say things like, you know, toll booth operator or I don't know. But really, it's not that you don't have it. It's just that you possess different emotional intelligences that are different profiles that allow you to do your job well. That's all.
Right. Yeah, because one of the things that I thought of, you know, you're talking about the toll booth operator there. You know, as a toll booth operator, he or she may feel they don't need to have emotional intelligence in certain areas, and that might be true from their perspective. But if they are there, they see people coming through on a day-to-day basis. Now, they can either make their job, you know, an enjoyable one, or they can make it sort of a miserable one.
Right.
Miserable in that people pass through and they just have a grim look and not willing to say good morning and not willing to have a brief interchange, although it may only be 2 or 3 minutes at the most. Or they can just sit there with the toll booth door closed or toll booth window closed and not say anything. So
right.
It kind of depends on how they want to make their day for them.
Sure.
But emotional intelligence is more than just interacting with someone else. It can be things like we were talking earlier about impulse control. Now, impulse control is a part of emotional intelligence, but let's say someone is not thinking about that and they have difficulties managing their impulse. You know, they may just go out and say things or do things that is totally inappropriate.
Right.
And could have an impact not only on their career, but an impact on their personal life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I, too, have not really thought of any occupation out there where emotional intelligence isn't used or needed.
Right.
So I'm going to work with that one, though, and I might be able to come up with a job somewhere at some point in time where emotional intelligence is not needed. But, Brent, let me say thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today. I want to give you an opportunity to kind of share some information about your books and things like that with our listeners in case they want to, you know, get copies.
They can get everything on my website, and that's just brentdarnell.com. There's links to the books, the People Profit Connection, as well as the whole Tough Guy books. Relationship skills for tough guys, stress management, time management, life balance for tough guys, and communication and presentation skills for tough guys. There's also, I have the Tao of Emotional Intelligence and several other books, but check it out. And also, I've got a really fun blog, and I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook, and all those links are on my website as well, so I'd love to link up with anybody out there.
Fantastic. That website again was?
Brent Darnell, Darnell with two L's, .com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being with us today, Brent. Much success in all you do, and I look forward to talking to you probably in a couple of months or so.
All right, great. Thanks, Hank. See ya.
Yes, we've had Brent Darnell on with us today. Fantastic guy. And the thing that he does, which I'm just so tickled about, is working with emotional intelligence in the non-traditional environment or the non-traditional industries. And if you had a chance to catch the show, fantastic, because you heard that EI, or emotional intelligence, can be used in a lot of places, and you know there's a lot of opportunities for it. It doesn't look like we're going to have time to get to the email, so I apologize for that, but we were having such a good discussion. Time just kind of slipped up on me. We're just about out of time. So what I'm going to do with the emails that I've received, I'm going to hold on to those until the next show. The next show will be next month. We do it the first Monday of every month. So next month will be April 1st. The first Monday of April is actually April 1st, April Fool's Day. But it won't be April Fool's Day with Let's Talk EI. It'll be a real show. So this is Hank Clemens, or Dr. Hank, saying thank you for being with us today. Thank you for being a part of Let's Talk EI. Look forward to talking to you next month. So let's go out and have an EI day. Thanks for listening.